are ready to hear you preach this morning.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, there is a song in my heart today. Amen. Even if I didn't have a song to pick. These girls, they're always like, oh, pick mine. And then they let me down. I don't know. I thought I was given an opportunity, a golden opportunity. And but praise the Lord. I messed everything up. So, John chapter 1. Going to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 15. All right, Pastor Asquith, would you say just a word of prayer here before we get into this?
Father, please bless the man of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. John 1:15. The Gospel of John is an amazing gospel. It's the testimony of that man who he called himself the man whom Jesus loved. That's how he identified himself, and that wasn't an arrogant thing to say. It was just that's what he could say about himself. That's all he could say is that he was a man that Jesus loved, and he spent time with the Lord, and he had some really amazing insights from his time with the Lord. Of course, the Lord had confronted or talked to Peter for a little while, and Peter turned around and looked at John and said, What about this guy? And he says, If I will that he continue till I come, what is that to thee? But follow thou me. In other words, that's none of your business. And it turned out that John was, I believe it was the beloved John that wrote the revelation. And God showed him some amazing things, but he had a heart after God and loved the Gospel of John.
Amen.
And there's some great insights here. And specifically, I talked to Pastor last week after the morning service. I said, now you don't have an outline. I'm not getting an outline from your message. You know, when I'm home and we're listening online, we ask the girls, now make sure you get all his main points and write down the title. And good luck with that, you know. So I end up asking them questions like, so what happens to tadpoles? What happens to tadpoles, you know? So they get more out of that anyway. So anyway, I was challenged by that. I never have liked an outline anyway, so I'm just, I guess I'm at ease to just go ahead and preach a message without an outline. I've got some thoughts for you this afternoon. So Pastor said the way he likes to do it is throw three verses up in the air and shoot at them. And I said, that sounds a great idea. I'll give that a shot. So, so that's what we're going to do here. So John chapter 1 and verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Go down to verse 27. Verse 27, John says this. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Notice that in verse 15 he said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So he says in verse 15 he was before me. In verse 27 he says he's coming after me. In verse 15 he says he's coming after me. But he also said he was before me. Notice that. He was before me. Continue reading down in verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Again he says, for he was before me. So there's a very clear message here that John the Baptist is sending out. It's something that's very dear to his heart. And he says, he was before me. He's preferred before me because he was before me. But notice he also says, he's coming after me, but he was before me. And so, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he was made poor. He came to give himself as a minister to all. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto. It was not robbery for him to be considered God. He was God. And the Bible tells us to have that mind within us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he became he was obedient, even obedient to the cross. I'm not quoting well this afternoon, but you know that passage. You know the truth of God's word, that the message was that he came, though he was before us, he came after John the Baptist. And so we see this thought, before me. The book of John starts with a little bit of an unusual, or there's a parallel here at the very beginning of John. You don't need to look there because I think you're familiar with it, but the Bible says, in the beginning, and you expect it here, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but instead it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was God's Word that created everything. It was God's wisdom that created everything. Before there was you and me, there was a God who had a Word. There was a God who had had a vision. He had the truth that allows us to be saved. There was a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And before I existed, there was a God who saw the potential of my life through Christ. Amen. When I was nothing, He saw me. And that Word is what allows me to be alive today. Ephesians 6:2, you can look there. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. God's given us a picture in His creation of His love for us that's allowed us to be here. We need to honor Him. He's preferred before us. He was before us. We were nothing. He invented us. God invented us. He conceived us. Everything that we are is by His wisdom. We could not exist but by the foresight of God. By the wisdom of God. In His love and His wisdom, He saw us from before the foundation of the world. Proverbs 20:20 says this, also regarding honoring your parents. Whoso curseth his father, his mother, his lamp shall be put out in an obscure darkness. What a great truth that we need to honor our parents. My personal experience was I had a very strained relationship with my parents and especially my dad. And over time, God began to work in my heart, and through the preaching of God's word, He began to work in my heart. And I realized that there was a principle here, and it's not honor thy father and thy mother if they're respectable or if they're honorable or if they seem like they should be honored. No, we honor our father and our mother because it's the right thing to do. It's reasonable. It's logical. They changed me, they fed me, they provided for me. When I couldn't do a thing, they took care of me. And just out of decency, I should show respect to them if they didn't do anything else to be a good parent. I have a responsibility, and God gives us this command, and it's a very reasonable command, and that is honor thy father and thy mother.
Yes, sir.
Do it. We need to set our hearts on doing that. Honoring our parents. And in that is a picture, a greater picture of honoring the God who created us.
Good,
honoring the God who made us. Jeremiah talks about the Lord and His insight into our lives. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I remember as couldn't have been more than 11, maybe 10 years old. I was very fascinated by nature. I'd like to try to find birds, and I was always dreaming of someday I'll be able to catch a little baby raccoon and raise it, and it'll be my pet, you know, and it'll be so cool, and you know. And so I saw this red squirrel making a nest up inside of a pine tree. And he kept climbing up there and climbing up there. And I could see that ball of grass up there that he was making a nest. And I thought, there's baby squirrels up there. This is my opportunity. I don't know if I should or not, but I thought about it and thought about it. And after a while, I couldn't help it anymore. I ended up climbing that tree. And I got that nest down, and I was so excited. I thought, boy, they're going to be like little puppies in there. I mean, this is going to be so neat. I'll have a baby squirrel. I can raise it. By the way, don't take this advice. It's a bad idea to raise a squirrel. All right. But I opened that nest up, and what I found was baby squirrels, but not the way I thought I would. They were these pink little shriveled up things. They looked like a fetus. They didn't look like, could this be alive yet? It looked just like a little shriveled up, just tiny little I didn't know what to do with that. I felt so bad. I went and I kind of put that nest back over close to the tree. I thought maybe the mom will come back because I didn't know what to do with it. But God in his wisdom, he knows his work in our lives and what he's going to do in our lives. He doesn't lead us down the road and say, oh, well, I didn't think of that. Well, you're on your own now.
Yes, thank you.
No.
Yes, thank you.
He saw us generation after generation. We can't even conceive of the thought of him being able to see through all those generations and to be able to see us and know us before we ever were a thought of generations. God saw us. What an awesome God. I remember another time I found a mother opossum that had been hit. And those little pink babies, they were in her pouch. And they had crawled out onto the road. It was sad. We don't know the answers for our lives. And we can't help someone to answer the questions of their lives. But the Word of God has the answers. This is the instruction manual for our lives. As we've been challenged before, we need the Word of God. Psalm 139, turn there. This is a passage that's been on my heart. And this just fires me up when I read this. I love this. Amen. This is a Psalm of David, to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I send up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Think about this now. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. David said, my substance wasn't a mystery to you. What I was going to look like was not a mystery to God. When nobody else knew what my shortcomings would be and my strengths would be, nobody else knew about how I would be formed or the shape of my fingers or the way that he's made your feet or the way that he's made your hands. God knew all of that before it ever was a thing. God knew it all. My substance was not hid from thee when I was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And that word unperfect means not completed yet. So God had already done it. He had already sketched it all up. There was already a word in heaven. We call it DNA now.
Amen.
Right? It's called DNA. That you have a blueprint for what you're going to look like physically. And you could, if you had computers that were capable of processing it, they could take that DNA and say, this is what you're going to look like. There was a word before there was anything.
Yeah, amen.
And God saw the substance before there was anything.
That's good,
bro. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, look at this, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. There's a book in heaven. He knew what you're going to look like. He knew what? What part of your dad and what part of your mom he was gonna put together and how it was gonna make a unique individual that was you that nobody's ever been like you before. He knew you. He had you written in his book already what you were gonna look like physically.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, what a powerful, powerful truth that God knows us that well, and he does know us that well. Think about the goodness of God and the wisdom of God in our lives. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I don't want to be weird, but you know, your body is just elements. It's just water and carbon and just a bunch of elements. It's just dirt. But God put it together into a body. And he breathed into you and made you a living soul.
Yes.
And you say, how is it possible that people are going to be raised up against some of these people like John Wycliffe? I think they burnt his body and they threw him in the river. And they say he's going to be resurrected. God, he's going to, his body's going to be resurrected. How is that? Because the God that put it together the first time knows where all the pieces went.
That's right.
And he knows how to put it back together.
Yes.
Amen. And in his wisdom, he has it all written down in his book. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We have been created to walk with God.
That's right.
If you go back to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, you see, chapter 2, there was the marriage. And Jesus' mother was there. I believe that's chapter 2.
Yep.
Chapter 2. And they wanted wine. The mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's good counsel. By the way, if I was a Mariologist, which I'm not, believed in the Roman Church and thought that we should honor Mary, I would say the number one thing we should do is pay real close attention to the words of Christ.
Amen.
Because she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
And so she said, whatever he saith unto you, do it. Now it's interesting that Jesus in all of his wisdom did not say, all right, let's get these water pots and I'm going to, boom, just ex nihilo, put some wine in there. He didn't do it that way. He said, fill the water pots with water. Now he knows what your water pot looks like. And those servants, when they filled those water pots, they filled them right up to the brim. And you will find the Lord. You'll be able to walk with God. The Bible promises this. It says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Many people, they think, oh, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen after death? Who knows what who's right and who's wrong? Seek and ye shall find. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Amen. And so he tells these servants, he says, fill those water pots up to the brim with water. And that's what they did. And you know what he did? Well, they could not. He took something ordinary and he made it extraordinary, right? He made it different. He changed it. You go to John chapter 3 and look what happens. Let's go to the end of John chapter 2, verse 23. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Notice this. They believed in his name. But verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. They had already believed in him, but he hadn't committed himself unto them. And he says, the word of God says, because he knew all men. He knew all men. He knew what we're like by nature. He knew us. He was before us, and he knows us. He knows all about what we are by nature. And he needed not that any man, that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He already knows what's in man. He knows what we have. You say, you know what? I can't memorize Bible verses, preacher. You know, God knows I just don't have that kind of memory. I can't memorize Bible verses. Really? Really? You know, I got to make it the ends meet. I can't be at church every Sunday. I can't do that. I can't set that time aside. I mean, I got bills to pay. You understand that? I can't do that.
Richard, yes, sir.
Wow. Oh, I just can't. You know, I can't live that life. I can't give up that kind of that old lifestyle. I know you said that's destructive to me, but I can't give that up. That's just who I am. It's just who I am. I can't do it. Lying. God knows you're lying. You can be at church on Sunday morning. You say, well, how are my bills going to get paid? Have some faith in God. Amen.
Yes,
trust God and take a step of faith. You know, the children of Israel, God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to start walking toward the sea, and that sea opened. They took the steps first. I don't know if they were up to their ankles before he split the sea. I don't know if they're up to their knees. I don't know if they're up to the chin. But they started walking that way, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
And we can do... There's some things that we can do. God, the Lord Jesus said he knew it was in man. So, here's a man. Chapter 3, there was a man. You see that? I just noticed that the other day. I never noticed that before. But the end of chapter 2 says there was he knew it was in man. And then chapter 3 says there was a man.
Yeah.
There you go. You got to connect the dots, right? Just says chapter 3 in between. There was a man. All right, there was a man. Well, what was in that man? Well, just plain old flesh and blood, just a man that God made. He breathed into him the breath of life. There was a soul there. So this man, he was a man of the Pharisees. He was a very educated man. He named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, the Bible tells us. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Incorrect, sir. There's coming a deceiver, and he's going to use many signs and wonders to deceive many.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Not true, sir. Nicodemus, you are not correct. He says, we know that you're a teacher come from God because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know that you have the touch of God on your life because you're doing some great miracles. Jesus said, no, I'm afraid you don't know that. And actually, that's what he said in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You said you can see the kingdom of God, you can't see it. You think you can see God's work in my life, but you can't see it because you need to be born again first. You see, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus would later tell Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. This man that was a religious man that should have already had all his ducks in a row, he said, you still need to be born again. Amen. And so before me, there was a God who saw me and saw my need, not only to be born, but to be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So God knows about us, and he had a plan before me, and he has a plan after me. Just go back to John chapter 2. I want to look at one other thing here about this miracle of the water and the wine. I love this. Verse 10 says, verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not and knew not whence it was. Look at what it says in parentheses. What's it say there in parentheses? But who's that?
Servants.
What about the servants? The servants which drew the water knew. Those wise men in all their wisdom sought the Messiah. And you know who beat them to it? The shepherds that were faithful up there just feeding the flock. Some common shepherds. There were in the field shepherds abiding at night, keeping watch over their flock by night. Certain shepherds, he knew why. They had done the service. Where did Ruth meet Boaz? Out in the field. She did what she could. And the Lord met her there. And we see that pattern throughout Scripture. The servants which drew the water knew. But this is what the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Isn't that unusual?
Yeah.
The world does everything backwards. You know, when you're interested in someone you're hoping to get married someday, you know, you put on your best front. You know, I mean, you always got to make sure all your ducks are in a row, and you want to send a good impression. You know, usually, there's always exceptions to every rule, right? But generally, that's how it's done, and that's how it goes. You want to try to present yourself well, and then after a while, well, I'm just married. You know, the old whatever. It's not how it is when we walk with God. He brings all the stuff that we need to take care of up to us first and says, here's the situation. Look at the law. Allow the law to be your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ.
Yeah,
you're going to have to deal with the ugly. You're going to have to deal with what really is before you can have a walk with God. And what you're going to find is that it gets better and better. Pastor Jenkins up in Michigan, he used to always say, it gets gooder and gooder, it gets gooder and gooder. It does. It gets better and better.
Yes, sir.
God, in his wisdom, has a plan and a purpose in our life. And he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Dale.
Yes, sir.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knows where he's going in your life. He knows where he's going in each of our lives. He knows the path that he has for us. And the end is better than the beginning. He said, thou hast kept the good wine until now. My mom used to say, save your fork. There's more to come, you know. Save your fork. Isn't that the way it is with the Lord?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's more to come. The best is yet to come. Jeremiah 18:4. Take a look at that. Jeremiah 18:4. I'm thankful that God is not like us. He doesn't invest in our lives for a little while and things get tough. He says, well, I guess that's not going to work. I'll move on. No. He's a faithful God. Even if we're not faithful, he abides faithful. Jeremiah 18:4. I'm still in the New Testament. Good thing it's not a sword drill right now. Jeremiah 18 and verse 4. And the vessel, let's go up to verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. And by the way, we're all marred vessels because of our sin nature. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. God wants to rebuild us. He doesn't. When we crash in life, he can rebuild. He can remake, like clay in his hand. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull it down and destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. That was how Israel responded to that. They said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. We are set on doing what we want to do. That's how Israel responded to that plea by the weeping prophet Jeremiah. We're going to just do what we've been doing. I don't want to be like that clay that can be remolded in the hand of the potter. That's what Israel was saying. Now, I personally believe we should respond to that plea of Jeremiah and say, God, allow me to be moldable. God, allow me to be in your hands a vessel. Go over to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. This is one of the most precious passages of Scripture to me. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 13. Let's go back to verse 10, Zechariah chapter 11, verse 10. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. So the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. The one day I was reading through that and it just kind of struck me. Like how disgusting. The men who, what are they called? The stone which the builders rejected. The builders of the church that God had chosen, the people of God, the nation of Israel, they had rejected Christ and they said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. We'll give you 30 lousy pieces of silver. For the Messiah, for the Lamb of God, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver for him. That's what he's worth to us. And I just thought, how disgusting, how appalling, how disgraceful, how obnoxious, what kind of evil would drive these people to pay 30 pieces of silver for the Lamb of God? Would you agree this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
I want you to think about that. I want you to digest that thought for just a moment. Would you think about that for just a moment? How disgusting that they would give 30 pieces of silver for the Lamb of God. How obscene. It ought to make you angry. And then the Lord broke my heart. Because the next verse says something very strange. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price. Why does it say that? It's so wrong. It can't be a goodly price. But it says it was a goodly price. That I was prized. Notice the word prized. That's not an accident. That I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter of the house. The potter of the house, the Lord. God said, I can do anything with you if you'll put yourself in my hands. And Israel said, no, no, no. There's no hope. There's no hope. We're going to do our own thing. God said, well, I have 30 pieces of silver. In his hand, those 30 pieces of silver are worth more than anything. In his hand. If they're not in his hand, they're worthless. But in his hand, he cast it to the potter, a goodly price. Isn't that good?
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful for a God who loves us that way.
Yes,
sir. Turn over to Isaiah 46 and I'm going to wrap it up here pretty soon. Isaiah 46. I told you already, I don't know exactly where I'm going, so that shouldn't be a surprise to you. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, 9 through 13. The Bible says this. Let's look at verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. I love that. God said, I am God, and there is none else. He told us, remember the former things of old. Remember where you came from.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
By the grace of God,
yes,
we're here today.
Thank you.
By the grace of God, we have hope for tomorrow. It's by the grace of God.
Yes. Amen.
John the Baptist said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. By the grace of God, we're able to be his people and be like Israel, his glory. We're able to be the people of God. We're able to be Jews at heart through the blood of Christ that takes away the sin of the world. What a Savior. I don't know what the Lord would have you do with this message, but it's a message that I believe is what God would have for us, and something to meditate on, something to think about. See what God would do with it. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for the privilege to be able to be here today. We thank you for your love to us, your patience. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are not as others, Lord. You don't give up on us. Father, we've been difficult many, many times, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Your mercies are new every morning. And it is of your mercies that we're not consumed. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we pray that you help us to walk in your power. Father, help us to walk in humility. Lord, I pray that you help us to remember who we are. And we are, by your grace, only a word. We're here, Lord, by your word, by your grace, by your vision. Father, we have hope in you. Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name, Lord, you use the message. Stir us and draw us closer, Lord. You build up your church here. I thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you. Build up the church here, Lord. Build up your work, Lord, as you said you would do. Father, we pray you help us to walk and remember how what you've done in our lives, Lord, that we would not be forgetful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.